This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
I want you to do something. I want you to take your copy of God's Word and stand. Can we do that? Whether it's your iPad, your iPhone, your whatever. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that you're here today. I really mean that. We're just honored to have you. And we've had tremendous, let me say this, folks. People have been given their lives in every service in the building and online. Every service in the building and online. People have been given their lives to the Lord. I'm preaching about the Holy Spirit. This is the second message. And I'm studying, I'm preparing. And I thought, well, how can I do this? And this is not an exaggeration. This series may go 3 months. It may go 3 months. I'm just being transparent. Because the Holy Spirit is showing me things. The Holy Spirit is showing me things. And let me tell you something, folks. When you try to push people, get this. When you try to place an emphasis, get this, on the Holy Spirit in your life, in a church life, hell's coming at you. Because hell understands the power of the Holy Spirit. Hell understands. I pray we understand. Look what John 14 and 26 says. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things. The Holy Spirit will. He'll bring things to your remembrance. But now get this. You got to understand something. He can't bring it to your remembrance if you've not been reading it. No. He can't bring His Word to your remembrance if you've not been in His Word. So you've got to be in it. Whatsoever I have said unto you, I have told you before, most of the people that I read after are either dead or almost dead. Just about everybody, you say, well, Pastor Benny, I'd like to know who you study after. Well, just find those guys that are dead or almost dead, and that's who I study after. Charles Stanley, by the way, next month will be 88 years old. 88 years old and still preaching every Sunday. You know what that tells me? At 55, I'm just getting started. I'm just getting started. 88. See, a lot of you are looking to retire and you need to refire. Charles Stanley said these words. He said, if you never hear about the Holy Spirit in your church, change churches. If you never hear about the Holy Spirit in your church, change churches. Because you got to understand something. The Holy Spirit is just as much God as God is God. The Holy Spirit is just as much God as Jesus is God. All three of them are co-equal. That's why it's imperative that we understand and we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Somebody said, Pastor Benny, who do you pray to? I pray to God. I pray to Jesus. I pray to the Holy Spirit because I know all three of them. Amen? Now, the Bible says this in verse 26. It says, the Comforter. That's the word paraclete. Paraclete. The New Testament was written in Greek. The word paraclete. This is what it means. It means someone who is standing with you to help you. The paraclete. The Holy Spirit. One who is standing with you to help you. Now what I want to talk to you about is six things about the Holy Spirit. Six things. The first thing I want you to see is this. It's the Holy Spirit that convinces and convicts you of your sin. It's the Holy Spirit that convinces us and convicts us of our sin. Sometimes on Sunday when I preach, people will say, "You got on my toes." If I was going to aim for a body part, it wouldn't be your toes. No preacher can get on your toes. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the person of the Holy Spirit. I've been there when the Holy Spirit dealt with my heart. Look what John says. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Jesus said, "Guys, it's expedient or necessary that I go away." Wait. He said, "I'm here with 250 million people. 250 million people on the earth while Jesus was here. But he said, when I go away, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And he can be everywhere. He can be everywhere." And in verse 6, it says, when he's come, he's going to convince and he's going to convict you that you're a sinner. He's going to show you that you're not righteous in light of Jesus Christ. And he's going to show you that there's a judgment to come. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Ladies and gentlemen, you can't become a Christian without the Holy Spirit. Because he is the one that convinces you and convicts you of your sin. I hear churches constantly say, "We're a seeker-sensitive church. We want to be so sensitive to people. We want everybody, when they come to church, to be so comfortable. We want you so comfortable." Let me tell you something. God has called me to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. I'm not into everybody being so comfortable. You say, "Well, Pastor, what about the seekers?" Well, look what Romans says. Romans 3 and 10 says, "There is none that seeketh after God." I want you to understand something. We're not seeking after God. The Holy Spirit is seeking after us. We're not seeking after God. The Holy Spirit is seeking after us. So doesn't it make sense for a service to be more focused on pleasing the Holy Spirit than pleasing anybody else? It's the Holy Spirit, folks, that convinces. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts. Let me tell you something else. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us assurance of our salvation. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us assurance of salvation. Look what the Bible says in Romans 8 and 16. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." The Holy Spirit inside of you is what shows you that you're a child of God. It's the Holy Spirit inside of you. A little boy was 12 years old. He gave his life to Christ. And somebody asked him, "When you gave your life to Christ, did you see a vision?" He said, "No." They said, "When you gave your life to Christ, did you hear God speak?" He said, "No." He said, "It's kind of like fishing." He said, "When I go fishing, when I hook a fish, I can't see the fish. I can't hear the fish. But," he said, "I can feel the tug. I can feel the tug." Let me just say something, folks. When you come to know Christ, I'm not saying constantly, but periodically, you're going to feel the tug. You're going to feel the tug in your life. It's the assurance of our salvation. I was researching a verse this week and just about lost my Methodist dignity. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 1 and 22. It says, who also have sealed us. And when I read that, I knew Ephesians 4 and 30 says, he sealed us with the Holy Spirit. But I said, what does it mean to be sealed? And I found out to be sealed means ownership and a finished transaction. Yeah, you didn't hear me. It means ownership and a finished transaction. There was a man in the Bible, his name was Haman. He tried to kill all the Jews out. He tried to get a national decree to kill the Jews. But God raised up a woman. And by the way, God's still raising up women. Yeah. Is a woman superior to a man? Is a man superior to a woman? You hear me. A woman is superior to a man at being a woman. And a man is superior to a woman at being a man. Amen? But he raised up a woman. And let me just say this. I'm not going to camp here long. But I truly believe that God raises up women. I truly believe that God raises up women. And I truly believe God calls women to ministry. He raised up a woman named Esther for such a time as this. And she persuaded the king to change the decree. And Esther 8 and 8 says this. Write ye also for the Jews as it is liketh you. In the king's name, look, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed in the king's ring made no man reverse. The king said, I'm sealing this. They're sealed, by the way, and there's nobody can reverse it. I thank God that I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, and nobody can reverse it. But wait, that verse, I didn't stop there. It said, he's given us the earnest of the Spirit. That's where we get the word earnest money. Barbara and I, every year at Christmas, years ago, I would start about September, October. And there was a boutique where we shopped. The name of it was Walmart. And every year, I'd go down to Walmart and I'd get Barbara a real nice dress. And I would get Savannah more toys than she needed. And I'd put it on layaway. And I'd pay down earnest money. But let me tell you something. Before December 25th, they knew I was coming back. Because, see, I'd given them earnest money. Let me tell you something. When you get saved, God made a deposit. He made a deposit. He put earnest money in you. And he said, let me tell you something. I put the earnestness of my spirit in you. And I'm going to see you through. And I'm going to watch over you. And I'm going to take care of you. And I'm going to come back to get you. Because I've made a deposit of the Spirit of God in your life. It's the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, that gives us assurance of salvation. But let me tell you something else.
It's the Holy Spirit that allows us to understand the Bible. A person can be a brainiac. They can have more degrees than a thermometer. But they can take the Bible and they can open it up. And in the natural man, even though he's brilliant, he's more confused than a termite in a yo-yo. Amen? Because he can't understand it. Because it's not just a book. It's Spirit-breathed. It's Spirit-breathed. It's God's Word. And you got to understand 2 Corinthians. You got to understand 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Little boy's writing his girlfriend a letter. His mama says, what are you doing? He said, I'm writing a letter to my girlfriend. She said, Johnny, you can't write. He said, that's okay. She can't read. And folks, we can't read. We can't understand without God. Let me tell you the fourth thing about the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit empowers us for service. If you're trying to do something without the Holy Spirit, it's wood, hay, and stubble. I don't care how talented you are. I don't care how gifted you are. Without the Holy Spirit, it's vanity and vexation. I don't care what you're trying to do. Without the Holy Spirit, you see, you don't understand my degrees. I don't care about your degrees. You don't understand the awards I've won. I don't care about the awards you've won. Without the Holy Spirit, it matters not. Charles Spurgeon said, without the Spirit, we can do nothing. We're ships without the wind. We're ships without the wind. We're branches without sap. We're like coals without fire. We're useless. You know what I prayed for you? I prayed Acts 16 and 14 early this morning. Because I knew without the Holy Spirit opens your hearts, nothing I would say will matter. Nothing I will say will matter. Let me tell you the fifth thing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be resisted. There's a teaching, Calvinistic teaching. It's called irresistible grace. Irresistible grace says that some are predestined for heaven. And there's nothing you can do. You're going. And some are predestined not to go. And there's nothing you can do. And let me say that. Say this. If I believe that, today'd be my last sermon. Because I believe Jesus died for all people. Jesus died for all people. But I want you to understand something. You can resist the Holy Spirit. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Look what the Bible says in Acts. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers do, so do ye. Here's what I want you to see. The Holy Spirit deals with our hearts. If you don't know Christ, He deals with your heart. He deals with your heart. But you have a choice of whether you accept that dealing or you resist that dealing. You have a choice. Let me tell you something that I didn't even know till this week. You said, well, Pastor Benny, you've got an earned doctorate. They yelling that and a dollar will buy you a Coke, I guess. I didn't realize this until this week that Hebrews tells me anyone who's rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled, look, the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing,
look, and insulted the Spirit. You mean I can insult the Spirit of God? Do you listen to me, Christians? I want to say something here. I want to say something. The Holy Spirit deals with our hearts about things, and you can resist it. You can keep pushing it out. You can keep pushing Him out and going on and on and on with what you're doing. Hear me. Somebody said, can a Christian sin? Come up real close. I'm living proof you can. Now you say, well, wait, you're the pastor. I'm living proof a Christian can sin. But I want you to hear this. A Christian, this is the most important thing I'll say. I want to say this. This is the most important thing I'll say. A Christian can't sin and enjoy it. A Christian can't sin and enjoy it because the Holy Spirit is going to deal with your heart. A Christian cannot sin. No. If you've had a blood bolt, heartfelt, sin-killing, life-changing, devil-chasing experience with God, you can't just keep on sinning. The Holy Spirit will deal with your heart. And if He doesn't deal with your heart, you've never been saved. Because He'll deal with your heart. He's going to convict you. But you hear me closely. You can resist Him. You can get your mind on something else. You can lie to yourself. You can believe the devil's delusion. You can condone. You can condone and justify everything you're doing while the Holy Spirit's dealing with your heart. It is quiet in this Episcopalian church. Now here's the last, and I'm done. The Holy Spirit can be blasphemed. The Holy Spirit can be blasphemed. Now, I want to explain this to you. What does the word blaspheme mean? It means to speak hurtfully. Speak hurtfully. Pastor, I've heard all my life that there's an unpardonable sin. Is there a sin, Pastor, that you can't be forgiven for? Yes. There is. Look what the Bible says. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But wait. But if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. Whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Now wait. So Pastor Benny, if somebody takes God's name in vain, can they be forgiven? Yes. I want you to know that. Yes, you can. I wouldn't recommend you do that. He's giving you the air that you're breathing. What does He control in my life? Your next heartbeat, Vern. I wouldn't recommend you do that. So if I say things against Jesus, I can be forgiven. Yeah. But wait, Pastor. If I say things against the Holy Spirit, I can't be forgiven. Why? Is He greater than Jesus? Is He greater than God? No. It's not because He's greater. It's because He's later. What I mean by later, the Holy Spirit is God's last reach to man. He's God's last reach. He's God's last pull to try to pull you to Him. It's the last reach. You say, well, I'm so afraid I've done it. No, you hadn't done it. Because you would have no consciousness of doing it had you done it. And by the way, you're not going to sin against the Holy Ghost and live long. I've studied it. I'll preach an entire message on it sometime. But everybody in the Bible
who sinned against the Holy Spirit in a short time were dead.
Well, what is it, Pastor? You gave those verses in Matthew 12, 31 and 32. I need to know, what is sinning against the Holy Ghost?
You got to read the verses before. In Matthew 12, 22 through 28. Sin against the Holy Spirit is when you attribute the work of God to the work of the devil. It's when you attribute what God has done to the devil. And it's serious. Now let me tell you. Today, people watching online, today people are in this campus. And some of you, the Holy Spirit's convicting you for salvation. But some of you, you don't have to preach on issues. Preachers don't have, somebody say, well, I'm going to take this subject and I'm going to talk on this. All the people are doing that. No, you don't have to do that. What the Holy Spirit will do, He'll pinpoint everything in my life that's not right. You say, how do you know that? Because He's done it 1,000 times. He's pinpointed that in my life. And what He'll do with Christian people, He'll show us that in our lives that's not right with Him. And let me say this. It's serious that we respond. Because look what Genesis 6 and 3 says. My spirit shall not always strive with man. So you mean, Pastor, there comes a time when God will say, I'm done. I'm done. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. I'm done. You want to keep insulting the Spirit of God? You want to keep making a mockery of God? It's serious, ladies and gentlemen. This is not fun and games. My spirit shall not always strive with man. I've dealt with you about that over and over and over. You've brushed it off. It is serious. A young boy was going away to college. And his mom said, son, just promise me one thing. He said, sure, Mom. She said, all I've asked is one thing. She said, I've raised you in church. Just promise me when you go away to college, you'll go to church. That's all I ask, that you'll go to church. He said, Mom, I will. And I want to say something, folks, while I'm on this. I understand right now, you've got people that have pre-existing sickness and illness. I'm conscientious of that. I realize right now you've got some people who've never left their basements. And that's their prerogative. But I'll tell you what really does bother me. It's when we can go to Walmart. We can go to Home Depot. We golf every week. We go to the lake. We're sure not going to miss vacation. We're going everywhere else, but I just want to be safe and not go to church. You hear this preacher. You hear this preacher. We're going to miss so much church that the day will come that we no longer miss church. We're going to miss so much church that the day will come that we no longer miss church. And the United States of America will wind up just like Europe. If we can go everywhere else, you're never going to convince me that Walmart
is more essential than the house of God. Sunday came. His friend said, "Let's go horseback riding." He thought about it, but then he just pushed it out. Just like we can do the Holy Spirit. Just push him out. Push him out. You've got a choice. Just push him out. And he said he started riding that horse, and it was about 11 o'clock, and he went by an old country church. And he thought, my goodness. And that old country church had a church bell, and it started to ring. And he kept on riding. But he noticed, as he kept riding, the church bell got less and less and less. He couldn't hear it. And finally, he could barely hear it. And he stopped. And he turned the horse around. And his friend said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm going back. Because if I keep going, I won't be able to hear the bell. If I keep going, I won't be able to hear the bell." Listen to me closely. If you keep going, you won't be able to hear the bell. If you keep going, keep saying no to the Holy Spirit, you won't be able to hear the bell. You won't be able to hear the bell. While the Holy Spirit's dealing with our hearts, we need to listen to the bell. We need to say, "Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit." Let me tell you something. I tell the story about getting saved, kneeling by a couch. But what I don't tell is I went to church before with my sister, and the Holy Spirit would deal with my heart. And I would say, "No. No. No." And last night before I went to sleep, I said, "Holy Spirit, thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for not giving up on me." All I'm saying, you can hear the bell. You can hear the bell. If you can hear the bell, respond to hearing that bell. Oh, brother, respond to hearing that bell. You can hear the bell, so respond to hearing that bell.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin, and I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sins. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.